Welcome to the meeting of the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee. This meeting is being conducted through video conferencing communications and is being conducted pursuant to Section 3 of the Executive Order 2020-7. However, with this said, we do have some trustees and staff in person for this meeting. Their attendance is voluntary. This is keeping pursuant to the executive order mentioned above. Sandy, will you do me a favor and call the roll?
Absolutely. Trustee Rita Athus.
Present.
Trustee John Butler.
He's in a civil service meeting.
Okay. Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Here.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Here.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Here.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz.
Here.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Do you want to go, Trustee John Butler?
No, he's actually, he won't be joining us, at least initially. He's in another meeting.
Very good, thank you.
Mr. Perry, will you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present, and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Open Meetings Act.
Now, folks, you've been provided with, thank you, Mr. Perry. You've been provided with the meeting agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved, Athus.
Is there a second?
Second, Wazowitz.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler. Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Here.
Trustee.
Yes.
I think it's a yes.
I think it's a yes, that's not a here.
I said yes again. I corrected myself and sorry about that.
I am hearing yes.
Come on, Montel, quit trying to trick us.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz.
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Motion carries. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of February 18th, 2021?
So moved, Pritchard.
Second, Herrero. Finally beat you guys.
Is there any discussion? Sandy, will you please call the roll again?
Trustee Rita Athus.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler. Committee Chair Montel Gales.
This time it's going to be a yes.
Very good. Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz.
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Again, the motion carries. Well, this is my opportunity to make some comments, but we have a few here. We have a full agenda for today's meeting. We are focused on a set of important financial updates and a number of annual approvals that include a mix of technology enhancements, routine purchases, in support of the university's activities and needs, and much-needed investments in university facilities. Today, we will get one final look at projections and estimates for the current fiscal year 21 fiscal year's budget. Additionally, the materials also contain a written update about NIU's recent CHF bond refinance with Michael.
Bouvier,
President of Longhouse Capital, and he will be joined by Vice President and CFO Chennai to review a very successful, and I do want to emphasize very successful, transaction which will save NIU approximately $77 million. We will also hear a preview of the fiscal year 22 university budget based on the preliminary assumptions reviewed earlier today by Provost Ingram. The fiscal year 22 university budget will be presented to the board in June for full approval. The university is moving forward as well with 15 recommendations for approval. Many of these items put forth today build on discussions from committee meetings earlier in the day. I appreciate the efforts of the university leadership to connect the discussions and establish a thorough understanding of the items moving forward. With the exception of one item sensitive, one time sensitive item, items we approve today will then go with our recommendation for full approval of the Board of Trustees in June. Now, before we get down to our business, I want to give special recognition to Sarah and her team for the bond refinancing and fiscal year 21 budget performance. Of course, this recognition also extends to President Freeman and the entire NIU community team. Everyone did a great job in helping us to meet our financial goals for fiscal year 21. And I do have in parentheses here so far. In terms of both our expense control and revenue, the bond refinancing coupled with our first refinancing in the fall of 2019 will have a major positive financial impact on NIU for years to come. However, we do need to continue to exercise good financial and fiscal management, as we are not out of the woods as of yet. But during a year of great uncertainty and complications, the finance group and the university as a whole did a miraculous job. I'm also proudly and profoundly appreciative of the collective efforts of the university faculty, staff, and NIU students who persevered through a very, very challenging year. In my eyes, you're all winners. So let's kick the meeting off. I would like to welcome the University Advisory Committee members present today. Does anyone have any comments for the board? Hearing none, Mr. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, there's no public comment this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. At this point, I'd like to ask Vice President and CFO Sarah Chennai to present the university's financial update.
Thank you, Committee Chair Gales. We'll start with the fiscal year 21 third quarter summary. If you could progress to the table on page 13, please. We're going to look at the third column and really focus on the fiscal year 21 end of year forecast. The forecast presented today incorporates an all funds deficit of $19.7 million based on projected revenues of $376.7 million and projected expenditures of $396.4 million. Please note that this number does not include any federal relief funds associated with the second and third awards. I will touch on the expected impact a bit later in my remarks. On the revenue side, the university continues to see the impact of COVID-19 as revenues are down. Revenue lagged the third quarter of fiscal 20 by approximately $8.3 million, mostly due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on housing, sales, and other revenue sources. With less density on campus than originally expected, overall revenues trailed budget by about $5.9 million. Overall, expenses through the third quarter of fiscal 21 are $17.8 million below budget, reflecting cost containment efforts implemented throughout the university community. We see this downward trend in expenses throughout the majority of expense categories. Based on current projections, expenses are trending 5.8% under budget for the full year. Again, I express my appreciation to staff and faculty throughout the university for their actions in moving forward only mission critical purchases and helping us to monitor our expenses. You'll see that scholarship spending has increased by $12.5 million from the prior year. This is partially driven by the federal COVID relief programs and the AIM High Scholarship Program. As I referenced earlier, these full year expectations will be adjusted as the second federal relief program, the Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund 2, authorized in December, is implemented later this fiscal year. As we heard earlier in the day, NIU received approximately $23.7 million in funding. Approximately $7.5 million has been released directly to students, leaving the university $16 million in institutional funds. Once these funds are applied, we expect to end the year with expenses equaling revenues. On behalf of the university, I thank the board for its confidence when approving the fiscal year 21 budget and allowing the university the ability to thoughtfully work to address the expected gap between revenues and expenses. Let me pause and take any questions.
Are there any questions?
So if I go back to the numbers that Dr. Quiter shared with us, that will leave us approximately how much, if all the federal funds come through, or when they come through, that would leave us with how much to carry over to the 22 budget.
We're estimating right now it should be somewhere between, or I'll just say around $20 million that will be available to us in the next
fiscal year 22 budget to apply. As we've all said, remember, we're still paying off bills for COVID as we enter the fiscal year 22 budget. So great, thank you.
Ready for recommendations?
I can go into the next. Yeah, happy to go on to the next item. We're going to go on to the periodic report of investments for the period ending March 31st. There's a comprehensive written update provided. I'm just going to touch on a few remarks related to this update. The cash and investment holdings summary as of March 31st, 2021, shows NIU's total holdings at just over $135 million. As of March 31st, $58 million of the state appropriations have been received. This timing and release of funds is consistent with what we have seen in prior years. Of the total holdings balance, approximately $83 million is available for daily operations, providing more than the 60 days cash on hand. The remaining balance is restricted per collateralization requirements and contractual obligations, and our total holdings balance is about $19 million lower than the balance a year earlier. And this is, as we've explained previously, this overall decrease is a result of lower cash receipts over the same period of the previous fiscal year and the need to use cash reserves to cover operating deficits. I can take any further questions.
Do we have I'm assuming we do have a cash management policy in terms of how cash is to be invested?
We have.
And I see what you've showed us in terms of how much is going to money market, how much is in, you know, interest bearing cash accounts, but do we have a written policy on cash management?
I'm pausing because of the, I might ask if Associate Vice President Cherie Sannon is on to weigh in on this. I'm hesitating because I'm not sure if it's an official policy or if it's guidelines. Cherie, are you able to respond to Chair Barsima's question?
Yes, I am, Sarah. It's a written policy actually approved by the board, and it's available on the Treasury's office website. So it is in alignment with the state's Public Investment Act guidance.
Thanks. I'm sorry, it's on what website?
NIU's Treasury office website.
Treasury?
Mm-hmm. We can make the web link available if there's interest.
Let me ask you, is that open to the public or is that just for trustee review? How is that?
The policy, if it's posted on our website, would be open to the public.
Okay. Any other questions on this item?
And the $19 million that we're down cash-wise, the money that we're receiving back in is going to replenish that.
Right. That's a great question. So in the budget update, we're tracking about $19 million down. Once we pull in the federal relief funds, that should help us to get back, help us to cover what we are down thus far.
Okay. And you know, one other thing, we've met with you a lot during Zoom, and it seems weird to me that you're not blurred out in the background. I thought there was something wrong with my eyes.
This is all true.
In person.
So,
hearing no other questions on this item, this is information only. Can we move to the next item?
Yes, happy to. We're going to move along to the update on the Series 2011 CH bond refinancing. And Michael Bolver from Longhouse Capital is on the line to join us for this discussion.
Thanks, Sarah.
And Michael, hi, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
We are going to summarize for the committee a very successful refinancing of the Series 2011 CHF bonds. As a reminder, NIU had approximately $122 million in outstanding debt in support of the public-private partnership with the Collegiate Housing Foundation. On April 27th, 2021, the university sold $99 million of Series 2021 AFS revenue bonds to satisfy the outstanding debt with CHF. The sale was very successful, with the issue attracting almost $1.6 billion in orders. This level, 16 times level of oversubscription, allowed certain rates at key maturity times to be lowered throughout the borrowing. The strong levels of interest from investors allowed the university to achieve a rate of 2.7%, which was more than 4% below the original rate of the 2011 bonds. We will achieve approximately $77 million of total savings without extending the maturity date. The final maturity remains October 1st of 2043, and all of this was achieved while still meeting the university's goal of 20% or better participation by minority underwriting firms within the refinancing team. I'd like to recognize the university's team that included Vice President and General Counsel Brian Perry, Cherise Sannon, our Associate Vice President in Finance and Treasury, Jason Askin, NIU's Controller, and Andrew Rogers, NIU's Director of Budget and Financial Planning, who have spent countless hours on phone calls, in meetings, and preparing the needed materials. Cherise and Jason led much of the effort and drafted documents, requested information from colleagues across campus, and responded to questions from potential investors literally up to hours before the pricing, and painstakingly reviewed multiple versions of documents and presentations. The strategy in support of the refinancing was sound, and everyone prioritized activities in support of this transaction. The result was truly a team effort, and I greatly appreciate the efforts of all involved. I especially want to acknowledge the efforts of Longhouse Capital. Michael and his colleagues provided critical knowledge, advice, and advocacy throughout the entire process, and we benefited greatly from the strategy they deployed, their expertise, and their long-term relationship with NIU. I'd like to now invite Michael to talk with the committee about the financing climate, including including the interest from our investors and the remaining process and timeline.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm happy to do that. As Sarah mentioned, we really did have a positive financing on April 27th, and there are a couple of, I think, reasons for that. One is that we picked a good day to go out to the market. Rate, as some of you know, rates in municipal bond issues are typically priced off an index. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, good. Rates are typically priced off a municipal bond index, and the rate on that index was the lowest it had been in 3 months, and it hasn't gone any lower since then. We also had no particular other colleges in the United States going against us that day, so it was a pretty quiet day. Investors were interested in what we had to show. I think the other thing I'd like to just mention is that we did our own work to try to stoke demand, and we did some things different this year than we did last year. So, for instance, one thing was the investor presentation, which we is an opportunity to highlight the strengths of the institution. This year we did a live investor presentation where Sarah could interact directly with investors instead of simply posting a PowerPoint. I think that went very well. Sarah had an opportunity to talk about the strategic enrollment plan, about where NIU had been in the past, and particularly how we were able to improve enrollment this year. And I think that was very well received. I think the other piece is, for the first time in the investor presentation, we emphasized your work, your social impact on the region. And as some of you may know, investors are more and more developing socially conscious bond funds. And so what we really did was go after that to capture our share of that market. We put information in the investor presentation about what you did, giving them something to hang their hats on. And we ended up getting $85 million of orders based on that. It certainly wasn't the majority of the orders, but on the margin, it really helped us more aggressive with respect to the rates that we had. The impact of all of that was 42 distinct orders from investors. That's 7 more than last year for a smaller issue. As Sarah mentioned, that drove our rate down, and we really were able to achieve great savings. I think the last thing I would note is that we really scrambled, and I think and I give all of the credit to Sarah and your team, your PR team, but we had a call late in the morning from Bloomberg asking about the financing. They saw how successful it was and wanted to know why. And Sarah did a great job of telling them about our Northern Illinois' enrollment increase, about our socially conscious approach, and that was really reflected in a really strong positive article in Bloomberg, which was ultimately picked up by Chicago, by Crane Chicago Business as well. So with that, I again, just a really positive pricing, and I'll turn it back over to Sarah for any final notes she wants to make.
Thanks, Michael. I would just like to confirm for the committee that the results of the two refinancings that NIU has completed over the past 15 months, the two refinancings will have achieved a savings to the university of almost $129 million over the life of the prior issues. This level of savings was achieved without extending the final maturities of the refinanced debt. We did exceed the 20% BEP goal set for the underwriter placement agent fees in total. And we achieved all of this in parallel with updating the university's bond resolution and also acquiring New Holland Northern View, which will be included now into our AFS network. So it, all in all, the last 15 months has really allowed us to think differently about our debt servicing strategy.
Sarah, let me tell you this. That's a grand slam and two home runs back to back. And Michael, you can't see our faces, but we're all smiling because we're very happy with the results of that deal.
Thank you. That's good.
Any questions from the trustee?
Montel, the CDC just announced that if everybody in the room is vaccinated, you can take your mask off. So I'll just smile.
I will say the CDC has announced that, but NIU hasn't.
Yeah. I know. I kind of figured that.
I guess my only question is how long and how loud are we allowed to applaud? So
as long as you want.
My question is, do we have any more bonds we want to refinance?
Right.
We find some that we
that's right.
Well, again, this is an informational item, but it's a great item to kind of kick us all off. Can we move on to the next item?
Let's.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the fiscal year 2022 university budget, the preliminary summary. This is, again, we're going to build off of the comprehensive written update that's included in the materials. I just have a few overarching comments. Similar to the process deployed last year in support of the fiscal 21 budget, NIU leadership is not presenting a university budget to FACFO at this time. Rather, building off of the discussions earlier in the day, including the presentation by Provost Ingram in support of fall planning, we will share preliminary budget assumptions with the corresponding financial impacts. The university will work throughout the next month to confirm these budget assumptions with the goal of returning to the full board in June and presenting a fiscal 22 budget at that time. We will continue with the commitment to provide quarterly updates during the scheduled FACFO meetings next year. NIU has looked at different scenarios for fiscal 22, resulting in best case, worst case, and a most likely model. Leveraging the most likely scenario and aligning the approach President Ingram spoke about earlier today, thinking about how activity on campus would be handled, including the anticipation of flat enrollment, flat state appropriations, and a return to pre-pandemic density and activity on campus, although acknowledging that we won't quite be at the full pre-pandemic level. These assumptions result in an expected $395 million in revenues. On the expense side, NIU is assuming an increase in expenses as we prepare for pre-pandemic levels of activity, including in-person classes and resuming on-campus events. We are also planning for modeled increases in scholarship expenses and the savings from the bond refinancing. Based on the revenue and expense projections, NIU anticipates ending fiscal year 22 no worse than a $10 million loss. As with any budget, NIU could realize upside or downside, increases in enrollment, greater density on campus, or the receipt of further relief funding could improve the university's year-end position. Conversely, there are changes that could negatively impact how we end the year. University leadership is deploying a number of strategies to mitigate potential downside, including continuing the pandemic-induced fiscal measures through the summer. Efforts are also underway to resume multi-year budgeting in fiscal 23 with an initial rolling three-year budget timeline of fiscal 23 through fiscal 25. Multi-year planning and budgeting will be a topic during the November committee meetings. We will continue to work on finalizing the fiscal year 22 budget, and a confirmed budget will go to the board in June.
Any questions from our trustees? President Freeman, I'm going to step beyond Sarah on this one and say thank you. You've done a good job with this, because I remember a time when we were talking about a $10 million, we would just run to the hills and really cheered looking at $10 million loss. Great job. Great job.
Well, and I want to take the opportunity to thank the board for their trust and support. You know, it was a very challenging year on every front. And your trust in us to have quarterly updates and work with us through the pandemic was essential to us landing where we did. And I think it sets a great stage for fiscal 22 as a bridge to multi-year funding. I think we all grew and learned and really like having the quarterly conversations at the level of intensity that we've come to have them. And I really look forward, as I know Sarah does, to working with the board through the next fiscal year.
Fantastic. If there's no other questions, we're going to move now to our university recommendations. The university is putting forth a full set of recommendations in anticipation of resuming on-campus activity. I'd like to remind the committee members that many of our recommendations will reference discussions from earlier in the day. Sarah, please move forward with the university recommendations.
Thank you, Committee Chair Gales. Agenda item 8A, classroom technology upgrades. Academic Affairs and the Division of Information Technology request permission to purchase classroom technology enhancements in order to support lecture capture, two-way collaboration, and streaming capabilities across approximately 45 classrooms, while also modernizing the core smart classroom configurations in 30 rooms on campus. These much-needed upgrades will support the hybrid teaching described by Provost Ingram earlier today. The cost is $700,000. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting today, May 13th, 2021.
May I get a motion to approve this item?
So moved, Barsema.
Second, Anthes.
Is there any discussion? You know, what I'd like to say too, in regards to this item, remember, I think we learned from our two by twos that this is equipment that we'll be able to use into the future. So this isn't a one-shot deal as well. So this is a good move for us. With no discussion, Sandy, will you please call?
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
The 75 classrooms, how are they gonna be identified? I mean, what's the criteria being used to identify those?
So the provost's office has led a series of discussions with various campus partners to identify those most commonly used rooms, most frequently used rooms. And we've started with the classroom investments that the board approved in August. And now continuing with these upgrades, we're starting to work through those classrooms that are most commonly used.
Any other questions? Again, Sandy, would you please call the roll?
Absolutely. Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
And the motion carries. Can we move to agenda item 8B?
Renewal of Blackboard Learn software license. Again, Academic Affairs and the Division of Information Technology request permission to extend the Blackboard Learn Suite and Training and Development Manager for a one-year term. This request follows up on the overview of the learning management system RFP discussion provided by Jason Rohde and Matt Parks during an earlier committee meeting. The cost of the one-year extension is $410,005, and a request in support of a new RFP will come to the full board in June. This one-year extension allows NIU to thoughtfully support a transition to a new vendor if needed. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
May I have a motion to approve this item?
So moved, Pritchard.
Second, Wasowitz.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, again, would you please? Hold on once.
What period does this extension run through? I know we're going to come forward with a recommendation here shortly on what platform we're going to use going forward, but does the period that this extension is going to run, will it allow for a transition to the to whatever is chosen?
Absolutely, and that's exactly why we were asking for the renewal. So our current contract expires August 8th. So if we would have selected a new vendor in June, that would not have allowed for an appropriate transition.
To August of 2022.
22.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions and discussion? Sandy, will you again please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. That said, let's move to agenda item 8C.
Academic Affairs requests approval to purchase an additional module available within the Educational Advisory Board's EAB Navigate technology platform called Smart Guidance. The cost is $280,000. Smart Guidance provides guidance, planning, and onboarding tools directly to students via mobile and web applications so that students can make informed decisions and complete critical tasks at the most pivotal moments in their journey towards degree completion. This technology platform supports priorities identified in the strategic enrollment management model in support of student retention. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
I have a motion to approve this item.
So moved, Athus.
Second, Barsima.
Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Hearing none, Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Again, the motion carries. Let's move to item, agenda item 8D.
This is for a request to approve a beverage program contract. NIU wishes to enter into an exclusive beverage pouring rights and beverage vending agreement with Bottling Group LLC for fountain dispensing, vending, and retail beverage products for all NIU locations. Bottling Group LLC will also provide vending machines that carry a variety of products to support student, faculty, staff, and other populations as they visit campus. After a comprehensive RFP, Bottling Group LLC was found to offer the university the best overall beverage program, inclusive of a wide range of products that meet the needs of the entire university community at the most advantageous pricing structure. To ensure the best discounted pricing package available, we've offered the awarded vendor the initial proposed agreement of, we're offering a five-year period of coverage from fiscal 22 through fiscal 27 at a total cost of $1.25 million. There is one additional five-year renewal term option that would take us through fiscal 32. At this time, we're seeking Board of Trustees approval for only the initial five-year term. In the event the university wishes to renew the agreement beyond that time frame, we will seek approval at that time. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operation Committee endorse the request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
There's a second?
Second, Marcima.
Discussion? Let me start off on the discussion. I think this is one of the ones we're going to check to see if we could get some sort of BEP participation on as well.
Correct. So we have a BEP goal of 3% that was met by the awarded vendor.
3%. If we can, let's put a dog ear on this one for the next 5 years to see if we can work that a little higher. The one thing I want to emphasize is there may be some indirect things that we can do in order to beef up a number here, whether it's the trucking of materials to sites, et cetera. But I think we can best 3% in the future. Okay. Any other discussion?
Is this for the entire campus, including athletics, the Combo Center? So anything with NIU's name on it?
Correct. Any
facility?
Any beverage pouring. It does not include sports drinks at this time, but it does include all soft drinks that are sold at any location in any venue on campus.
Now, I know you went through an RFP process on this. How many responses did we get?
So this was actually our third RFP that we went through. We were under the prior two RFPs were unsuccessful. So we went out for a third time. I may ask my colleagues, I don't recall on the third one how many bids ultimately came in, but I can tell you that the vendor that we're going with is actually the vendor that we were under contract from with originally and has worked with us in the last 2 years as we've negotiated the unsuccessful RFP processes to extend the contract at the current rates.
So they did have competition in this last.
If I could ask if Emily Hotstetter or Cherise Sannon can confirm how many bids came in on the third RFP.
Vice President Schneider, this is John Cheney. I chaired the RFP committee, so I can assist with that if you'd like.
Thank you, John. That would be great.
Yeah. So thanks for the time, trustees. It's great to see you all virtually, but there was actually two received. However, one was not approved to be evaluated based on, I believe, the BEP requirement. They did not meet even the 3%. So there was only one that actually was evaluated by the committee, but two were ultimately received.
Are you able to talk about what the 3% will consist of? What service will they provide?
I actually do not know that. I apologize. I know it was part of their distribution. It's relatively local bottling company, so I believe it was through their transportation and shipping that they were for meeting that particular requirement.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
I think I would just want to add that, you know, to kind of carry on to the conversation that you had with BEP, I think it's clearly a priority for us to try to hit the benchmarks that the state has set. At the same time, at least from my standpoint, I don't want to speak on behalf of, you know, my colleagues, but I recognize the balance that the balancing act that we have to play in terms of fiscal responsibility to the budget of NIU and such. So I realize it's a difficult position to be in to manage both of those at the same level going forward. So it's not something that's taken lightly by me. I appreciate your focus on the BEP. Clearly, it's a priority for us, but fiscal responsibility is a priority too. And so we appreciate and trust the balance that we know you and your team will give to it.
This may, as I remember on this one too, that there is, because of our size, we don't consume large volume, and that kind of shortened, you know, the amount of people that we're going to bid on this.
This was a challenging RFP. We do take our commitment very seriously, and we put in very aggressive BEP goals in the first two RFPs that were unsuccessful. A piece of why they were unsuccessful, unfortunately, was those ambitious goals that we included, we were unable to identify a vendor that was able to meet those.
And I just want to remind the committee too that our numbers, our percentage goals are increasing as of January of 2022 to 30%. Yes, from the state. Yeah. So I looked at these types of procurements as being, you know, where we can to see where we can stretch our BEP numbers. You know, we can't really rely on construction a lot of times, at least in this last year. So, and I give Sarah and her team credit. They've heard me, and they're starting to look under rocks for opportunities to get this thing done.
And where were we from a goal standpoint for the state?
I believe we're at 6-something%.
No, I mean, where was the state?
It was at 20.
The aspiration.
It was at 20.
20 to 30.
Now. Yes.
Oh, that's a big.
Yes.
It's a huge jump.
Yes. Yes.
That's how we need you to drink more Pepsi.
We need to drink more Pepsi. Yes.
Get more bids.
Yeah. You know, let's face it, you know, the legislature is the one that's dictating these numbers, and they don't always do some sort of study that shows what the opportunity is to make these numbers. So, you know, I just want us to try our hardest, of course, and record where our successes and failures are so the legislature can know that these numbers may or may not be reachable. Any other discussion? Again, Sandy, can you read the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8E, music building partial roof replacement.
So the music building roof has been in need of replacement and was already prioritized for state funding and under the capital renewal program. Unfortunately, the state funded repair project may not occur until summer of 2022 at the earliest, and conditions have significantly deteriorated. The building has experienced numerous leaks and is negatively impacting students and faculty who utilize the building. After multiple attempts at temporary repairs, it has been determined that a more extensive repair is required in advance of the larger state funded repair project that's upcoming. The scope of this NIU funded project will address areas with the most need, which is about 20% of that entire roof, leaving the remainder of the roof to be completed later under the state project as required. The cost will not exceed $500,000. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
I get a motion to approve.
So moved, Pritchard.
Do I have a second?
Second, Shields.
Any discussion?
I have a question. How will we incorporate our BEP goals into this hiring?
Request for proposal that is currently outstanding seeks a minimum 20% BEP participation. So it is written into the RFP, and vendors will be selected, and only qualified vendors who agree they can meet at the minimum, that minimum level, will move forward for consideration.
Thank you.
Can I just ask to clarify, our BEP goal, it would include any subcontractors, is right?
That's correct. Okay. And that's oftentimes part of the...
Right. I figured that.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, we haven't talked about this, but it may be possible that we even look at a firm that provides a bid response that has a third tier BEP opportunity. So typically, if you think about it, the first tier is a supplier, second tier is their subcontractors, which we lean on for our number, but it's possible they could even do a third tier if they need copying work, et cetera. It expands our ability to make that number. Any other discussion? Hearing none, Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Again, this motion carries. Item 8F. Convocation Center, lighting upgrade capital project approval.
Continuing our facilities theme, the Convocation Center arena and auxiliary gym lighting system is original to the 2002 building and has been vulnerable to unexpected outages due to the age of the lighting control technology. These outages can significantly affect the variety of university-wide activities, which include commencement, various student fairs, sporting and entertainment events, as well as community events, by causing interruptions and creating a potential safety hazard for attendees. To minimize this vulnerability and provide enhanced energy conservation, this project will replace the existing lighting fixtures and provide a new control system. We'll look at leveraging LED technology with the expectation that the project will reduce energy consumption and provide a savings payback in under 6 years. The cost of this project will not exceed $316,000. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Again, may I have a motion to approve?
Athis, so moved.
Is there a second?
Pritchard.
Any discussion?
So you said it would be a six-year repay? For $316,000?
Based on the expected energy savings, the institution will in essence pay back the auxiliary network with the energy savings.
I'm just surprised going from 230 lights to 84 that we wouldn't incur a bigger savings. That's fine.
That could be possible.
Can you speak to the BEP aspect of this contract?
Yep. Similar to the roofing contract, the RFP that is currently underway includes a minimum 20% BEP participation.
Is this going through IPEC or is this a regular RFP?
To my knowledge, this is a regular RFP.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Trust, Committee Chair Montel Gales, excuse me.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz.
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Again, the motion carries. Item 8G.
Outbound ticket sales vendor agreement. Intercollegiate Athletics is requesting permission to execute a third-party vendor outbound ticket sales service agreement with Tamar Sales.
That's easy for you to say.
Especially not with the mask. NIU is leveraging a short-term contract currently that has the option of extending from June 30th, 2021 through June 30, 2023. Now that NIU has first verified a need for continuous services in light of COVID-19 impacts on sporting events, and second, assess the performance of the current vendor, we would like to move forward with the full contract extension. The full contractual obligation extends from April 2020 through June 2023 for a not to exceed amount of $400,000. And I will note that this contract does qualify for a procurement exemption, which includes a BEP exemption, as payment for the vendor is generated by the services provided under the agreement.
I'm sorry.
No. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Again, may I have a motion to approve this item?
So moved, Athens.
Second, Wazowitz.
Any discussion? Yes, Trustee Mathis.
How does it work as far as the ticket sales? When you say that the money is generated, is there a fee on the tickets? Does the vendor have to sell them at face value? Can they discount them? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm actually going to ask John Chaney to talk a little bit more about how this is operationalized.
Yeah, so this is actually a service that we use, or a company that we use, that basically becomes a partner with us. They primarily do outbound sales calls, selling them at face value, selling them at the value that we try to sell them at. And then they try to market to larger groups and those type of things to do group sales, those type of things. They aren't a secondary market. They're a direct sales group for us.
So not being a secondary market, they don't add on a fee or they don't raise the prices of the ticket?
They don't. That's why this particular group is one that we went with, because they have a set fee structure rather than a commission or any additional pricing on top of the ticket.
Okay, so the $400,000 is paid to the companies who are basically doing the marketing.
I'm sorry, I missed the back.
So the $400,000 fee that we're paying basically for them to do more marketing and outreach?
Correct. It basically covers the salary of the employee that we brought in and some of their overhead costs.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler. Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz.
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
And this motion carries. Item 8H, Air Carrier Air Charter Services for NIU football team.
Intercollegiate Athletics wishes to enter into an exclusive agreement with a nationally known air charter service provider for booking and managing all necessary air travel carriers and services for the 2021 through 2023 NIU football seasons. To ensure the to ensure the availability of high level of customer service and the university's ability to secure the most advantageous pricing through the awarded vendor, the proposed agreement would be for a 3-year period of coverage that would take us through June 30th, 2024. Costs are not expected to exceed $1.3 million over the 3 years based on historical use. The contract, the RFP that's under consideration includes a state approved 3% BEP participation level. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
I have a motion to approve.
So move, Ozowitz.
Second, Abbott.
Any discussion? Yes.
And I know the answer to this, but I just have to bring it up as well. So this is only for the football team, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and so all the other sports, they either do commercial flights or they do buses.
John may weigh in on this. I know part of it is this isn't
and
for this, all.
And I know it's just my the football team only.
Right.
Part of it is because of the distance for some of the games, but I'll let John Cheney speak to the specifics.
Yeah, so for this one, because it's a much larger expense and group, we do it this way. The men's and women's basketball teams midweek games, depending on the travel length, do have some charter service out of DeKalb's airport with a smaller plane, but that is within presidential approval level. So it's just a small.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? I'm sorry.
Is it normal protocol for us to do this over a 3-year period? I thought we kind of did this on an annual basis.
We had been doing it under an annual basis. There was some due diligence done, and we were able to secure better pricing and access to services if we were willing to enter into or pursue a multi-year agreement.
Let me ask a question. Does this lock us in at a price? Because I'm thinking about the cost of fuel now for jet airplane fuel. Does it lock us in?
John, can you speak to how the RFP was formulated?
Yeah, so it does not necessarily lock us into the price because it all depends on how many flights we end up taking, which can be impacted by our matching games in the midweek during November. Technically it does lock us in with the provider, and by going to the 3-year, we're able to work with them earlier and not necessarily according to the board's meeting schedule necessarily, so that we can work when there's more planes and other access available, and that's when some of the pricing is cheaper.
So it's possible you may have to come back to us if indeed there's some unforeseen circumstance which elevates the cost of fuel, et cetera.
It's possible, but we anticipated this 1.3. We have never been that high over a 3-year period compilation. So that's why we. But yeah, fuel prices are always a variable cost in there.
Trustee Watson.
And Trustee Athus, I have two female collegiate athletes in my family, so I felt like I was at the dinner table. So thank you.
I do too, so that's why.
There you go.
Any other? Yes, Chairman Varsin.
John, this is Dennis.
Yes, sir.
When we negotiate our contracts with some of the schools that we play that are Power Five schools, do we negotiate air travel? Or is that supposedly included in the price that they pay us to come to their stadiums?
Depends on the school. If it's a busable game, then we may settle for a lower guarantee price. But if we know we're going to fly, we will push for inclusion of additional, $200,000 or something to that effect to be able to cover our cost. Possible.
So it's possible we may not use the 1.3 based on that kind of scheme. Yes?
Yes.
Georgia Tech.
So how would we account for that if they were able to negotiate a fee plus travel and the travel is broken out separately?
Usually they'll just they won't specifically give us travel. They'll just give us a higher guarantee, and then that we would just within our own budget dedicate that to the travel expense.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Any other questions? Sandy, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Appice?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8I.
Secondary student health insurance contract renewal. Intercollegiate athletics requires annual secondary health insurance to meet the insurance coverage needs for all student athlete accident claims for athletically related illnesses and injuries. The secondary insurance is required in addition to coverage that the student athlete may have through their own primary insurance. The secondary insurance product is being purchased has been designed uniquely and specifically for the NCAA members with the master policy form negotiated on behalf of the schools in accordance with NCAA regulations. The effective date of the policy will be August 1, 2021. The cost is $535,000. And I'll say that anytime I give a cost, they're not to exceed. It is possible that the costs for any of these could come in lower. So all costs are not to exceed amounts. This item did qualify for a BEP waiver. So there is not a BEP participation associated with this request. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
I get a motion to approve.
So move, Pritchard.
Is there a second?
Second, Shields.
Any discussion?
Trustee Gales.
Yes, sir.
I need to step out to a virtual meeting, so I just want to let it be known.
Yes, thank you.
I'll be back.
Thank you. All right, Arnold.
Yes, MacArthur.
Yeah. Actually, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger who was going to be like.
Okay, I just want to get a point of clarification. We do have a quorum.
Yes. You lose anybody else, though.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I believe at this stage I'm asking for any other discussion. Hearing.
I have a question, and maybe this was covered and I missed it, and if so, I apologize. Why is this year's amount being asked for so much higher than last year? Because if I'm reading this correctly, we're asking for $535,000. The amount funded for fiscal year 21 was $325,000.
I can address.
So the insurance rates, the market has just increased, and we're seeing that across the board. It's not unique to this. Yeah,
that's a 40% jump.
Similarly, when we approved the student health insurance offering back in February, there was an increase to that. That contract as well. We're just seeing bids from many insurance companies, likely due to COVID, but we're seeing that all insurance contracts are
they just passing their COVID costs along to us?
To some extent, Chairman Barsima, it's a little bit to do with the student out athlete well-being initiatives that are out there. And extending those farther out into their post-collegiate years, and then mixed in with our costs actually went up based on when we transitioned with Northwestern a little bit on some of the claims and some of those type of things, which are now reduced back down. But because of a lot of the surgeries were held at the hospital rather than at a surgical center, some of those type of things. So it's based on your aggregate over the past 2 years, and then they add on their 18% to that. So that's where the number comes from.
Oh, okay.
Could
thank you, John.
Yeah, could I ask though that you guys take another look at that?
Yeah.
I think it's going to move forward this session, but it would be nice to see why that increase is so high.
Yeah, I can review that with our business office.
Yep. And we could probably go through our agent or whoever we're purchasing the insurance from to get a formal statement from them.
Now, are you talking for the June 17th meeting that you'd like that information?
Yes.
I can bring this to the MAC presidents and chancellors table as well, since this is NCAA secondary insurance.
Yes.
At all of our institutions.
Any other discussion? Fanny, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Appice.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler. Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz. Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Well, the motion carries, but we're going to have a little bit more discussion on the next meeting to see why the price is so high. Item 8J.
This is the university's in support of NIU's contract with the NIU Foundation. The Northern Illinois University Foundation is an independent organization, and it operates to support the mission of NIU through fundraising, asset management, and related support activities. Among such activities, the foundation coordinates and manages cultivation, solicitation, and acknowledgement and receiving of all gifts. It administers, invests, and distributes funds, and it maintains all constituent records, as well as performs alumni relations activities. The fiscal 22 contract amount assessed is $743,600, which covers salaries and other expenses for designated employees, as well as a portion of programmatic services in accordance with contract obligations. I'd like to say on behalf of the university, we'd like to express our appreciation to the foundation for again agreeing to hold the rate of the professional services agreement flat. You'll see that even though presumably there's been an increase in costs of services for the last several years, the foundation has agreed to hold our rate flat, recognizing some of the financial challenges of the university. So our appreciation to the foundation. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request, and we ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
We get a motion to approve.
So moved, Appice.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
Discussion? Oh, I do have a question. So salaries are paid out of this money as well, right? So does that mean that they've received no increase in salaries?
The employees have received increases. The foundation is helping us to make up for those increased costs.
Any other discussion?
In view of the campaign that we're going to be running in the next fiscal year, is that going to be sufficient to carry an aggressive campaign?
Those are part of ongoing discussions that the president is having with the foundation, our vice president, Catherine Squires, and I think those are ongoing.
I think as we move into our multi-year plan and we identify strategic priorities, obviously the campaign is a priority. As the board knows well, when we look at our priorities, sometimes we fund them by reallocating resources from other areas. And both the foundation and the university will be looking hard at how we make sure we have sufficient staffing and infrastructure.
Great. Thank you.
Any other discussion? I will say this is money well spent. Money well spent. Hearing no other discussion, Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8K, Talent Acquisition Advertising Consulting Firm, Affirmative Action, Equal Opportunity.
As an affirmative action equal opportunity employer, the university is committed to recruiting and retaining a qualified, diverse workforce. NIU is requesting approval to enter into a four-year contract with a recruitment and professional advertising consulting firm for advertising and job postings. Typical positions advertised under this contract may include administrative and executive level titles, faculty, supportive professional staff, and civil service positions. An RFP process is underway, and academic diversity, equity, and inclusion will include campus stakeholders, faculty, and staff in a consultative RFP process. And the RFP that is underway includes a minimum 20% BEP participation requirement. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request, and we ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Can we get a motion to approve?
I move Barsima.
Is there a second?
Pritchard.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8, what am I on? IL.
The Campus Printer Copier Program Contract Renewal. The Division of Information Technology is requesting permission to issue an order for the renewal of the Campus Copier Printer Program supporting printing needs throughout campus. Last year's quantity of campus-wide printed pages is approximately 9.5 million. The program is provided under a rental agreement based on a flat rate per copy charge, which includes all equipment, toner, and maintenance. This is the final year of 9 one-year renewal options, and we are asking for spend authority not to exceed $650,000. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request, and we ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Motion to approve. Do I have one?
So moved, Athus.
Is there a second?
Second, Shields.
Any discussion? I do have one question for you. This is a very lengthy contract, 9 years. Any idea how much BP participation we got out of this during the course of the contract?
A BP waiver was issued at the start of the contract. As we are negotiating a new RFP, there's an opportunity to revisit that.
Yeah, look at this. This is kind of a low-hanging fruit item here.
I have a question. This might be for Dr. Freeman. So some years ago, might have been 3 years ago when we went to the new copier program or platform on the campus, and it was generally well received. I think that there was some pushback. How is it received today? Is it a platform that everybody's comfortable and happy with in terms of our printer policies on campus?
I think everyone has accommodated. I think that while there may be pockets of individuals who miss having a desktop printer, especially this year and looking at the savings that we've achieved over time and what that's meant for other things the campus could invest in, people are very appreciative that we made that decision. And I think from an environmental standpoint, looking at the reduction in print is something that gives our students and many of our environmentally conscious faculty great pride.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Sandy, again, please, will you call the roll?
Trustee Rita Affis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Again, the motion carries. Item 8M, Cisco Hardware Maintenance Contract.
The Division of Information Technology requests permission to purchase Cisco Network and Security Maintenance for hardware, software, and 24/7 technical support for the university's campus-wide Cisco-based enterprise network for fiscal 22. The cost is not to exceed $387,000, and a BEP waiver is associated with this purchase. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request, and we ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Barsima.
Is there a second?
Second, Athens.
Any discussion? One of the things I'd like to see, and hopefully my colleagues will join with me on this, the number of waivers that we give, if we could do a quarterly or biannual kind of report on that, and it'll allow us to see why waivers are being issued and what we might be able to do to overcome that kind of pattern.
I'm sorry, what was the question, Montel?
My question is more of a statement than anything. I'd like to see some sort of BEP waiver report, what we're really passing on an opportunity. I know some of these things are legislatively done, that you can't, you know, salaries, et cetera. But these sorts of things, there's gotta be some other way, creative thinking we can do in order to squeeze some percentages out of these contracts. Any other discussion, any other comments? Again, Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Affis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8N, renewal of on-base software maintenance.
So one final software item. The Division of Information Technology requests permission to renew a contract for Highland, referred to as on-base software licensing support and maintenance services, for 1 year with two additional one-year renewals options. The maintenance services will provide for continued use and future growth of the on-base workflow and imaging technology at NIU. And this supports key administrative process enhancements as the campus continues to move towards electronic workflow modernization. The amount is $460,000, and it will cover approximately 3 years. And there was a BEP waiver attached to this purchase. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval in its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
I need a motion to approve.
So Richard. Moved, Shields.
Is there a second?
Richard.
Richard. Any discussion? And again, that amount is 460 or 450.
Oh, excuse me, let me confirm. The amount is $460,000.
I know OnBase does workflow and imaging, but what's an example of what? I mean, how will somebody use OnBase? What's an example?
Sure. If I can ask Matt Parks to maybe talk through a good example of the OnBase platform for us.
Yeah, so one example, good afternoon, trustees, President Freeman. Trustee Barsima, what I would say, an example of how we use the on-base workflow is with the Office of General Counsel. For the university that to submit contracts for review by the General Counsel's office, that is done through essentially a web portal that gets uploaded directly into OnBase. And then the General Counsel's office is able to review that contract through the OnBase system and then track workflow against that contract so that as edits are made and or as approvals are made of the contract itself, they can track the progress of that to execution.
Is it used just for the General Counsel's office, or is this used all over campus for this type of a process?
Right, so we've got over 50 different departments use OnBase for key workflows in their respective areas. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 170 distinct life cycle or workflow processes that are articulated and developed and supported in OnBase for those 50 plus departments across the campus community. Admissions is a heavy user of the tool itself, Office of General Counsel, accounts payable, registration and records, HR, all are key departments that have sort of a heavy reliance on OnBase as a document management system process workflow tool for them.
So Matt, are we charged by the user or seats or licenses? How does that work?
Yes, it's by named licenses, and then we have a separate concurrent license approach. So we manage a couple hundred licenses overall for the system. It's an on-premise solution. We're not yet in the cloud. We're evaluating that as a long-term roadmap approach, but it is a license approach, a portion of which are named heavy users, and then a portion of which are general access licenses for the broader campus community.
Since it is an on-campus kind of activity, was there an opportunity for BP on this?
A BP waiver was associated with this purchase.
Yeah, so this is a direct, you might see up in the summary, this is a direct procurement, sole source procurement with the provider of the software called Highland.
Okay.
For the licenses associated, the user licenses.
Any other discussion? Again, Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Thank you, Matt.
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Butler.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Again, this motion carries. We're moving to item 8-0. Are we going to go through the whole alphabet here?
This is our last one. I misspoke on the last one. This is our last one.
Adobe Enterprise Term License Agreement.
So our last one for real this time. The Division of Information Technology requests permission to enter into a three-year agreement with CDWG for Adobe's software suite. And this would be for a period 2021 through 2024. The suite of products will include a variety of Adobe functionality, and campus will utilize this to trial and evaluate an electronic signature methodology for use at NIU. And this is part of our ongoing electronic workflow modernization. The amount of this contract is $510,000, and it will support needs throughout campus. And a BEP waiver was issued because of the direct agreement with CDWG. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, and Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request, and we ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 17th, 2021.
Again, may I get a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Richard.
Any discussion?
I'm sorry, may I interrupt? Who gave that first motion?
Athens.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Sandy, again, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
That motion does carry, and that has concluded all of our action items. We're going to move to university reports.
Thank you, Committee Chair Gales. We have two committee reports, and I'll just note that comprehensive write-ups are included in the materials. I do not have any planned remarks in support of either of the items. I'm happy to take any questions, however, if there are any.
Seeing no or hearing no questions, I'm going to move to, other matters. Are there any other matters that need to come before the committee? Our next scheduled meeting is August the 26th, 2021. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Barsima.
Second.
I get a second.
Second.
Richard.
Very good. I don't need discussion. Sandy, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Vice Chair Eric Wazowitz? Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
All right, we are adjourned, but before we do, this concludes the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee.